Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
.430 going into the show with the world-famous John Edwards. How are you?
So far, so good. How are you?
Not bad. You got all your turkey recipes ready for Monday?
Yeah, well, I'm the biggest turkey you'll be around our house, so yeah, we're all set.
I'll speak to Mrs. John about that and get back to you, okay?
Yes.
All right, going into week six for the NFL, what do you like?
You know, if you're a masochist, you can start your day with the Jaguars and Bears playing in London. I'm pretty sure sending those teams to London is against the Vienna Convention, but our rules don't apply to the NFL. 1 o'clock, the game of that window looks to be Commanders-Ravens, and Jaden Daniels at the Commies off to a very hot start, but the Ravens defense is always tough, and that's a local rivalry that they only get to play once every 4 years, so I think they'll both be up for it. 4 o'clock, it's Lions-Cowboys. You know, that should be, the Cowboys have been decent to start, and the Lions look to be rolling, which is not a sentence I thought I'd ever say. That matchup could be good and could be an early indicator of strength in the NFC East, or in the NFC overall. 8 o'clock is Bengals-Giants, so either go to bed early or watch the baseball instead. On Monday, it's Bills Jets, so we can see how the Jets do with a coach who doesn't pray 5 times a day.
Yay or nay, should the NFL transfer the Jaguars to London and make them into a UK-based team?
I feel like it's heading that direction. I mean, certainly the Jags seem to be in London more than anybody else. Football is the one sport where it could really work. Well, it can't be any worse than Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's for sure. Jets fire Coach Sally this week. Could they hire Bill Belichick to take over?
That would be the funniest thing. Don't know that they'll do it because I'm not sure that Belichick wants to tarnish his undefeated record with the Jets from his 24 hours with them back in 2000. I'm not sure it's the greatest match for him either, because by the time you get to next year, who knows where Aaron Rodgers is going to be.
Yeah.
Probably back running with RFK for president in 2028.
Belichick wouldn't have much to do. All he'd have to do is just sit back and let Aaron do everything.
I mean, that sounds like a great idea until Aaron Rodgers insists that Joe Rogan become his defensive coordinator and Pat McAfee, the special teams coach.
Baseball now, playoffs this weekend.
The Yankees and Mets are already through, so we've got a couple of game fives. San Diego and the Dodgers play tonight. Detroit-Cleveland is on Saturday, and the NLCS starts on Sunday.
It gets my goat that division winners have no more advantages, really, than anybody else. The Phillies, the Brewers, the Astros, they won over 90 games and for nothing. Would it be better for the best of five games to all be played in the division winners' park?
I don't think so necessarily. I think there might be a case for extending the division series to 7 games to make it slightly less random, because that's what we're seeing right now is you play 162 games and then you decide who goes on over five, which could be anything. I think the division series needs to go to 7 games. You could also give teams the option to refuse the bye. If they want to play in the wild card series and keep going rather than being off for a week, then, you know, give them that option.
But going to a best of seven series, the season ends in November now. Can't extend this to Christmas.
Honestly, I think baseball would do well to go to about 154 games. Schedule used to be.
Now that's an idea. Okay. Louis Tiant passes away.
Big pitcher for the Red Sox in the 70s, a little bit before my time, but big part of the Red Sox team that got to the 75 World Series, won a couple of games there, but ultimately lost to the Reds. Perhaps why he's not as immortal as he probably should have been.
Yeah, Hurricane Milton in Tampa Bay this week. Did you see all the improvements that Milton made to the drop?
Yes, I always joke about tornadoes going through Cornwall doing $10 million of improvements, but I never expected a storm to actually do that. But the drop looks way better without the roof than it ever did with it.
What possessed the mayor to try to put people out of harm's way by putting them in the drop to start?
Luckily, no one was in it. They changed that plan. Yeah, I mean, the roof was supposedly rated for 115 miles an hour. I guess the idea was it's a big open place. You could put a bunch of people on the floor in. Now, if it doesn't make a direct hit onto Tampa, destroying Waffle Houses wherever it goes, it might have worked. They hadn't put anybody in there. I think there were about 10 or 20 security people in there that during the storm, and that's it. And they were all fine. Now the Rays might be wishing that Montreal thing had gone through.
Talk to you at 5:30.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
I would be lying if I said I'm fine. I think of you at least 100 times. 'Cause in the echo of my voice I hear your words, just like you're there. I still come home from a long day. So much to talk about, so much to say. I love to think that we're still making plans in conversations that'll never end. In conversations that'll never end. Courage, don't you dare fail me now. I need you to keep away the doubts. I'm staring in the face of something new. You're all I got to hold on to. So courage, don't you dare fail me now. No one to hide from the truth I know. Side on my hands, but I won't let you go. There's no replacing the way you touched me. I still feel the rush. Sometimes it drowns me till I can't breathe, thinking it's only in our memories. But then I talk to you like I did then, in conversations that will never end. Don't you dare fail me now. I need you to keep away the doubts. I'm staring in the face of something new. You're all I got to hold on to. So courage, don't you dare fail me now. Don't you dare fail me now. 'Cause it's not easy when you're not with me. This world of madness goes faster now. And it's a train wreck, but I won't crash it. Don't you dare fail me now.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
Mike McDevitt, Weekly News Review, right here on the Friday Drive. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, Daniel. How are you?
Well, the cold weather is here, Michael.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not going to really complain about the weather today because I'm looking at pictures of Hurricane Milton there. And
I want to talk about that in just a few seconds. Weather Channel, I've been looking at their website. They think that winter will show up in December this year. While it's too early to predict if we will see a white Christmas, the weeks leading up to Christmas and New Year's should be much more wintry than we had last year, I guess. We had nothing last year.
Yeah. I think we might have gotten spoiled again a little bit last year, except for the people that like winter, of course.
And, of course.
I have other comments about those guys, but that's another thing.
Michael, two major hurricanes in 3 weeks in Florida. How much more can residents bear?
Well, I don't know, you know, and I'm trying to figure out how these people, especially Republicans, can rationalize all their thinking. Some of them are convinced that it's Jewish space lasers and things like that. Where do most Jews in the United States go to retire? Well, Florida.
Yeah, the presidential candidates, all they talk about is all sorts of things except global warming. The Republicans still continue to say there's nothing more important than to know if Kamala has a gun. It's nuts, completely crazy. Jocelyn and I, we were on Sanibel Island just a few months ago. They're rebuilding from Hurricane Ian, and here they are last night. I had to think about them because they're in the middle of this all over again. And you know what happens? The Gulf of Mexico waters are warming. The warmer water is just fuel for these monsters to build.
Yeah, exactly.
And really fast, too. Look at this storm. It was a Cat 1 just like 48 hours ago and then goes up to 5 in just a few hours. It's crazy.
Florida didn't get the worst possible scenario either. It's only going to get worse. It doesn't have a choice. It's going to get worse.
You can no longer buy insurance, or if you can, the rates have tripled. Many insurance companies are just left. And the thing is the storm surges. It wipes everything out in its path. It's
really scary.
You
know, the Caribbean is not all that deep in most places. Water heats up fast.
You probably saw this week Donald Trump rampant disinformation again, getting in the way of disaster response. Let's make points with the electorate with what's happening.
Many people we can get mad at disaster workers.
Anderson Cooper was outside and got whacked by a flying plank. Did you see this?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, what the hell are these guys thinking? You're not going to report on a storm any better by standing in the middle of it. Nuts.
We know it's dangerous. You don't have to overdo it.
Well, they keep telling us it's dangerous. You know, evacuate, get out. And there he is standing outside in the middle of a hurricane. On one side of my body, I'm saying, well, it serves him right. Jesus. But on the other, I'm saying, what are you doing? He's a valuable resource. You don't put him out there for that.
Poor Lester on NBC on Wednesday night. In the rain, his glasses are full of water. He can't see anything. It doesn't make for great TV any longer.
No,
okay.
It doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't.
Okay. Michael, first page of the Journal de Montréal this week. 71% of Quebecers find it unacceptable that the Governor General of Canada can't speak French. In naming Mary Simon at the position is political and symbolic. The newspaper says the Trudeau government has chosen to ignore the growing marginalization of French in Canada. Is this a big deal for you? Is this a big deal for Canada?
Well, it's not a big deal for me. The Governor General doesn't make any difference in my life or yours or anybody else I know. On the other hand, Canada is an officially bilingual nation. The Governor General, whether it's a symbolic job or not, she is the head of state of the officially bilingual country of Canada. So, yes, to me, being bilingual is a job requirement. I've got nothing against Mary Simon, and she probably deserves the post as much as anybody else does. But if you're going to choose a native person, there are plenty of native leaders who speak English and French. I don't think it was a wise choice. The Journal de Montréal is taking the most extreme position. You know, it's an insult. Well, it's just stupid. It's not necessarily an insult. It's stupid, though.
Something else that the Trudeau government is being blamed for these days.
Well, you know, they don't do themselves any favors, gotta tell you. You know, she's a grown woman. She's not a young buck anymore. You know, she promised to learn French. She still hasn't after 3 years. Well, you know, you don't learn a language in 3 years at that age. Not most people don't, anyway.
Speaking of being in harm's way, let's talk about Premier Legault. He's ruled out paying asylum seekers to leave Quebec, and this is the latest round of controversies he's embroiled in. After pressuring Ottawa last week to remove 80,000 migrants forcibly, then accepting the reality that such a move would contravene Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The Premier is not denying other removal methods that may have been considered, but says his government had considered paying their transport out of Quebec or reducing their social assistance checks. Gabrielle Nadeau-Dubois says the Premier has little knowledge of the immigration issue, even after 6 years in power, and cobbling together solutions only creates confusion, and this is embarrassing. What do you think?
Well, I have to agree with him, first of all. I mean, I don't know what other methods he's considering. If you can't even bribe people to leave, other methods. What's that? Loading trains and sending them across the country like they did from Texas to New York, paying people to leave. Can you imagine how that would go down? Average Quebec taxpayer. Oh, by the way, 5% of your provincial tax is going to exporting people. How do you like that? I don't know why he thought this was a sensible thing to bring up at all. He's just vocalizing how confused they are. You know, they don't know what to do about what they see as a problem. Yep. And yet, remember, Quebec is desperate for workers. I live on top of a business going gangbusters, absolutely gangbusters. It's gone from 5 people to looks like about 40 of them down there. Since I have lived here, I'd say half of them are immigrants.
Not to mention, we're not producing enough babies. I know you've done your part, Michael.
But, I have indeed.
And, but thing is that not enough people right now are paying in the kitty.
It's interesting that you say that because I look around and I see lots of little kids around here. There was a while that you didn't see very many. Lots of little kids, but obviously it's not enough. They're going to grow up to become what? Half of them are going to university and coming out with degrees that they can't put to use. There's not enough people in the trade schools, which is where the jobs are needed, or the jobs are, and the workers are needed. We could use some really sensible leadership in this country, and I don't know where it's going to come from. Yeah.
One of the CAC's problems is having too many people go to Montreal, which is, of course, becoming more English because of it. How would you resolve the issue and send more immigrants to the regions?
Try making them more welcome.
Hmm.
No, really. I mean, I don't think somebody coming from Lebanon or Syria cares whether they're in Trois-Pistoles or in Montreal. They'd probably enjoy life better if they actually lived out in the non-metropolis areas. There's no work for them, and the people are not always the most welcoming. They go to where other members of their community are.
Many Quebecers feel that we're not racist. On the other hand, I do see a lot of people say they'd prefer not seeing immigrants at the shopping center at nights and on weekends.
As you know, I take the bus. Even here in Lennoxville, I'd say half the people that are on the bus are obviously not Quebecers, at least they appear very, very strongly to be immigrants. Just by their accents, they speak French, but by their accents, by their clothing, by their demeanor, I still hear the same thing you do. You know, oh, you're damn immigrants. You're taking my job. Well, what?
To finish this off this week, Mike, down south again, 25 days before the big election, Republicans were complaining Kamala was not appearing on TV anywhere. Boy, she was all over the place, including 60 Minutes this past week.
Well, I saw her all over the place, too. But the point is that she wasn't anywhere that these guys watch. She wasn't going on Fox News and she wasn't going on Newsmax. And I don't blame her. Why do you want to walk into a firing squad? I mean, that's ridiculous. The Republican strategy now is to complain about how bad everything is. All the badness is the result of the Democrats. We know the hurricanes are Biden and Kamala's fault. It's gone crazy.
No matter what one presidential candidate does, half the country doesn't like him or her.
Yes, exactly. You got a scenario for a civil war, no matter who wins the presidential election. There's an awful lot of people on the left side of that equation who will be just as upset if Trump wins.
The U.S. of A. will be an interesting place to live and to visit on November 6th.
Oh, good Lord. I don't even think I pay any attention until the very end, until I find out at the end how it turns out. It doesn't really matter who wins. If even if Kamala wins, you got a Congress that doesn't look like it's going to become any more Democratic and cooperate with her. And the state of mind of the candidates is you don't break bread with the enemy.
You've chosen your word quite well. Enemy it is. Michael McDevitt, The News Review, every week right here on the Friday Drive. Thank you, Michael. Have a great long holiday weekend.
Yeah, you too, Daniel.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Sun is going down, time is running out. No one else around but me. Steady losing light, steady losing my mind. Over shadows and gravity. What you waiting for? Something physical. I can do this by myself. Without you, there be no place for me to hide. Without you, there's no way I can sleep tonight. I do for a little bit of peace and quiet.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week, it's Taylor McClure. Hello there, how are you?
Hi, Daniel. I'm doing well. How are you?
Always good to talk to you. Thank you so much again for what you do for us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Taylor, the launch of video capsules for English speakers this week in your area.
Yeah, so there was a launch of video capsules for community service for English-speaking individuals by the Access Committee for Services for English-speaking Individuals here in Brome, Missisquoi. They launched a new set of video capsules at the Princess Theatre here in Callansville last week, identifying community organizations here in Brome, Missisquoi that provide services to English speakers. These video capsules were developed with the financial support of the Brome, Missisquoi Social Development Network, and they showcase 25 organizations that offer services in English and for specific clientele. For example, families, children, seniors, women, and more. A website and a paper directory have also been created as a part of this initiative with information about additional community organizations that serve English speakers in the area. So we were actually invited to the launch of the video capsules at the theater. Spoke with Tanya Szymanski, who is the Community Development and Immigration Coordinator for the MRC of Brome, Missisquoi. And she explained to us that when the Brome, Missisquoi Social Development Network was created a couple of years years ago, it held consultations with various stakeholders here in the local community. And one of the issues that came out of these consultations is that English speakers in the area are not using the services that are available to them. And there is a major need to make them more accessible and to raise more awareness around them, which is one of the main goals behind the video capsules. So those who are looking to learn more about the initiative or the services that are available here in the area, they can always go and check out the new website, communityservicesbm.ca, for more information about the project.
News now and good things happening in Fire Prevention Week.
Yeah, so Sunday marks the start of Fire Prevention Week in Quebec, which is running from October 6th to October 12th under the theme Le premier responsable, c'est toi. The person first responsible is you. Fire Department of the Town of Brome Lake is going about raising awareness in the local community around how to stay safe, and particularly when it comes to the use of technological devices that have lithium batteries. So we actually chatted with Kevin Robinson, who's the Director of Fire and Public Safety for the Town of Brome Lake, and he mentioned that at the Fire Department's recent open house event, one of the growing concerns that they are trying to sensitize the population to is how to safely go about using technological devices such as our cell phones, or we're seeing these e-scooters and e-bikes that are coming out due to the potential fire outbreaks that can occur. So for example, something as small as plugging your phone into a charger and then deciding to put that charger under your pillow when you go to sleep as it's charging, this can lead to the batteries overheating and creating what is called thermal runaway, which as Kevin pointed out, can lead to fires that are very, very difficult to put out. So this is something that they're emphasizing during Fire Prevention Week. And for those who are looking for safety tips and for more information about how to use technological devices more safely, there is a provincial website that is dedicated to Fire Prevention Week where people can refer to if ever they're looking for more details and some safety tips around this.
Taylor McClure can be heard on CIDI FM 99.1. Matter of fact, daily news bits can be heard over CIDI991.com. You want to know? You tune in to Taylor. There.
Okay. We do our best to keep you informed.
What's the long weekend looking for you?
Not too much. The spending time with family, which is, I think, an important part of it all, right?
Enjoy it. We speak next week, Taylor.
Yes, you as well, Daniel. Thank you.
Township's weather, cloudy periods, a chance of showers tonight, low 8. Tomorrow, cloudy, 60% chance of showers, high 11. Saturday night, clear, low minus 1. Sunday, sunny, high 11 degrees. And holiday Monday, rain, high 7 degrees. Just after 5 o'clock, Ed Humphrey from the Townshipers Association is here. 5:10 interview of the week, musician Tim Brink. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive at CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.